Food Fight Radio on KCBQ is sponsored by FranVest International, Inc.
Welcome to Food Fight Radio, and folks, we're different than any other food show you may ever encounter. We won't show you how to execute a whole recipe from scratch. We won't insult your cooking ability by saying you should only do things a certain way, which is basically what you're getting when you watch a food show, right? They do it their way, and or you can change the channel. This guy only knows the one way to make guacamole or stir-fried chicken. And if you're made to think that his way is the right way, that's wrong. This is also what happens when you go to culinary school, right, buddy?
Yeah. Food's an art. So being told there's only one way to do things is like saying there's only one way to color in a circle or one way to draw in a house. And if that were the case, we would have no painting. It's just silly.
This is a good point. One of the many examples of there's more than one way to roast a cat is a schmear. A schmear is a spreadable format. I'm going to get technical on you here, that is administered in a general smearing sort of application, hence the name, to something else, which is the vessel for the smear, if you will. Some of my favorites are where the media is a bagel. Of course, you can go crazy with onion bagel, blueberry cinnamon, or if you're crazy, the everything bagel.
I love everything bagel.
Freaky thing, and I don't approve its use.
Oh, I love it.
And other than the requirement that the schmear be applied with a blunt butter knife, the options are endless, and you can have a lot of fun with these things yourself. And in America, it's quick, so that's breakfast. To cream cheese, and a lot of people do prefer cream cheese as their schmear of choice, you can mix in garlic, spices, chives, dill, smoked salmon, otherwise known as lox, any kind of smoked fish or seasoning, even maple syrup.
Ooh, maple syrup.
And sugary mixes can be stirred right into the cream cheese. Peanut butter. Don't put this on an onion bagel because it's weird.
Peanut butter and onion.
It's like weird in an Elvis Presley kind of way.
Some gummy bears.
Ew. Bacon. You know, melted, maybe you have me, but you can use this in combination with sliced bananas or chocolate spread, but you can also stir into the peanut butter, you can stir stuff in.
Oh, yeah, I love that.
Yeah, like...
Goobers.
Goobers, not bad. They might break up a little bit, but that's part of the fun. You could stir in cake icing, marshmallow, nuts, toffee bits. You could drizzle honey in there. That's known as a peanut butter schmear.
Peanut butter and honey?
Or PBS. I like to call it peanut butter and honey. You could mix the honey right in with the peanut butter so it doesn't super sticky your bagel. So when you pick it up, you're not going to get honey all over your hands. So that makes it a lot more convenient, especially when you're on the run. You're eating it in the car on your drive to work.
Wrapped up in the little diaper paper towel everybody wraps up their bagel in.
Only people with kids say stuff like that, guys. Butter, of course. Standby.
Butter and honey is such a great combination on any bread.
Oh, absolutely delicious.
We were making tortillas from scratch. I was in a tortilla class yesterday, and they had all these burrito fixings, but the butter and honey was just my favorite.
Ooh, tasty. You can mix in preserves. Weird preserves. Even jalapeno pepper jelly.
We had that there. That was great. And red pepper, red habanero jelly. That was awesome.
Mint jelly.
Mint jelly.
You ever try butter with mint jelly?
I'm scared to try anything creamy with mint jelly because I'll worry it will appear to be like toothpaste.
Have you ever had a York peppermint patty?
That's different. That's covered in chocolate.
Okay, what about those cool mints? What are they called? You know, the mint things.
Lifesavers?
No, not Lifesavers. They're chocolate-covered mints. You get them at movie theaters, typically. They're like Mentos.
Oh, it's a junior.
Junior mints. Yeah, it's like a big mint, but little. It's a junior.
It's still covered in chocolate.
I don't know how I forgot that, because I used to eat them by the pound. Yeah, they're covered in chocolate. They're creamy. People like those.
Yeah, but if you try mixing like any cream, like cream cheese or anything else with mint or a cream sauce with mint, it's more toothpastey than anything else.
There is a very popular, famous mint recipe called cream cheese mints where you mix the mint extract right into the cream cheese with some sugar and you shape it into these little shapes or squares or balls, and it becomes a mint. It's refrigerated cream cheese mint. You would hate that. I'm going to make them for you for your next birthday.
Damn it, that's like 2 weeks away.
I guess I better get started. I'm good with making food, but when it comes to confectionery...
Yeah, I don't have the confectionery stuff.
That's where it all falls down.
That's a special science. I still don't.
And you know
it.
Why? Is because that thermometer. You got to get the stuff to exactly the right temperature, mm-hmm. or it won't set, or it won't harden, or it'll do something. Plus, have you ever tried to get that stuff off the pot later?
Oh, never. It's concrete.
It's impossible. I accidentally made mint candy one time, non-creamy mint candy. I found some extract in my pantry. I didn't know what it was, and I thought, but it smelled kind of, you know. Just like something I would put into like a caramelized sugar base. Mm-hmm. So I did that and I watched in horror as it hardened into an immobile, freaky looking ice sculpture of candy. And it took 3 days to soak that garbage off my pot.
Oh, geez.
It was ridiculous. Anyway, back to Schmears. Other things that you can mix with butter is you can put in, aside from mint jelly, which you hate, black currant.
Ooh,
yeah. Black currant jelly, black currant preserves. One of my personal favorites. The butter cuts the sweetness, so you can go all out English tea party style, really here. Really lay the preserves on thick when you have the butter as a stabilizer, because no matter how many preserves you have, it's not going to be too sweet. The mellow flavor of the butter evens it out. Lemon curd is a classic English topping for pretty much anything, whether it's a bagel or a croissant. Croissant? Americans say crescent.
Croissant is how I say it, but I think I'm wrong.
You're wrong. It's croissant.
It's not croissant?
No, it's croissant. There's a W there instead of an R, and you're not supposed to pronounce the T. This is a normal French word because, you know,
this is why I'm horrible at spelling anything.
That's not why, it's a French thing, so it's a French word, and you gotta pronounce it like the French do.
My French teacher in culinary school pronounced it croissant, but maybe he was just humoring us.
He was dumbing it down for his American students.
I appreciate that.
It's croissant. However, you will get the eyeball if you say this
croissant,
in...
Croissant, because everybody thinks you're being pretentious.
Right, exactly. It's like when you're saying, if you're in an Italian restaurant and the waiter comes up to you and says, would you like to try our house-made minestrone?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, dude, it's minestrone. You're the customer.
Yeah.
And you're correcting him, the Italian waiter, who... fake accent, guys. Yeah. He's not from Italy. He's not at all Italian. And the French waiters they have in French restaurants, they're not French.
Oui, oui.
this is some dude. He's a surfer from down the street from PB. And he's got the fake accent because it gets him more tips and it mm-hmm. probably gets him more dates with whatever group of women are now his customers. Because he can be all, you know,
he's
French
so
about it.
Worldly.
So worldly in French. And I just love that accent. Yeah. He is a surfer and he has a surfboard strapped to the top of his Jeep that has no top. And he's never eaten a croissant in his life. but you can go, you can get really crazy with the schmears. And what goes better with a schmeared item than a strong tea? Double up on the tea bags, get that nice dark color, add some milk. Do not add cream. It will clot on you. Milk only. Make a latte or a chai. I don't care. Whatever it is, serve it in a teapot. It doesn't matter what you put in the teapot as long as it comes in a teapot. Because tea parties are fun, really, even for grown men.
I agree. Me and my kids all the time.
And of course, your kids are girls, so that's a big part of it.
Well, the little one's a boy, but yeah, the three-year-old's
a girl. Little one's an infant.
The little one's
so he doesn't know better yet.
Yeah, he's a little larva.
He hasn't gone Lego and Transformer on you yet. Even if it's just you, put in a teapot, you get to feel really special. Of course, no manly man is going to do this. What my husband does, use our two daughters as an excuse.
That's what they're for. That's why you have kids.
That's why you have kids, is so you can live as a child vicariously through them.
Yeah,
right?
You have kids so you can buy toys and play with them, because you can't buy them for yourself as an adult.
Well, you can't, because it makes you seem selfish, because if you have 5 kids, you really should be spending all your money on your kids.
Yeah.
Do it for the cute little snacks, tiny sandwiches, smeared items. This is something that daughters out there will treasure forever. You see how important a schmear can be to the attitude of your kid in the future? You are one schmear away from your daughter marrying a stable good guy or jumping onto the back of a Harley and eloping in Vegas and never taking your calls. Too extreme?
Mm-hmm. No.
Drink the tea, eat the schmear, men. Real men schmear things. Today on Food Fight, we're going to be talking about International Women's Day. It was Friday the 8th yesterday. It's a big deal. Boss's Day is not a big deal. Actually, for most men, Women's Day and Boss's Day are the same thing. Women expect something on this day. Doesn't matter what. We're going to give women their due. And coming up on Food Fight Radio, an interview with Bob Marley's nephew. And what the heck is molecular gastronomy? Coming up after the break.
In this corner, authentic New York-style pizza from Knockout Pizza Mira Mesa. Eat in, take out, or delivery. And in that corner, the other guys. And the winner by a knockout. KnockoutPizzaMiraMesa.com. Limited delivery area.
Have you looked at your grocery bill lately? You've probably noticed that good food is expensive. And between planning, shopping, cooking, and cleaning up, it's also time-consuming. And probably one of the least rewarding daily chores you have. Hey, here's an idea. Let Dine-In Tonight simplify your life, one meal at a time. They hand-deliver hot, delicious, gourmet meals right to your door at dinner time. A few of their 100 gourmet recipes include maple-glazed baby back ribs. Oh, hello. How about lemon chicken piccata, roast beef with Dijon sauce, roasted red snapper, Havarti chicken with portobello mushrooms? Choose 3 or 5 nights per week for just $10 per entree with no delivery fee. Get a free week of meals delivered by using promotion code KCBQ. Sign up online at dineintonight.com. That's dineinnight.com or call 888-64-MEALS. That's 888-64-MEALS.
Trying to run or start a business, but the costs and overhead are keeping you from your dream? Lower your costs and reduce your footprint with a virtual office with FlexOffice. You'll have a real business address for your mail, business cards, and website. All of the amenities are provided for you. You and your clients can meet in a professional office building. You'll have access to a fully equipped conference room and classroom with internet and a 42-inch TV monitor for presentations or training. Conveniently located in Sorrento Mesa with access to the 805 and 15. Get your dreams back on track with a professional virtual office today for only $79 per month. It's the most flexible and cost-effective way to get what you need to grow your business, and you only pay for what you use. Call 858-200-7591 or visit us online at flexofficesuites.net. flexofficesuites.net.
Welcome back to Food Fight Radio, and I'm your host, Claire Katz. With me in the studio is my good frenemy and fellow gastronome, Marcus.
Idaho.
That's nice. That's Mr. Hanky reference.
Yeah.
So you heard the term molecular gastronomy.
Yes.
You hear it all the time in our profession, but lay people think it's just another way for foodies to throw our weight around and that we can do something regular people can't do. Do you know what the real definition of molecular gastronomy is?
You get to play with your food more?
That too. It's a perfect example of introducing something that is actually simple and then making the language all crazy so no one knows what you mean, so people can be all impressed by it. Molecular gastronomy is a subdiscipline of food science that seeks to investigate, explain, and make practical use of the physical and chemical transformations of ingredients that occur while cooking, as well as the social, artistic, and technical components of culinary and gastronomic phenomena.
Phenomena. Do, 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 do.
In general. Basically, they put on a lab coat and hypothesize why egg yolks turn solid as they heat up and other similar stuff. Molecular gastronomy is also a modern style of cooking, which practiced both by both scientists and food professionals in many professional kitchens and labs. So we're cooking in labs now. And takes advantage of many technical innovations from the scientific disciplines. This is all legalese. I got this from Wikipedia. This is not my interpretation of it. So after we watch the yolks harden, they will serve you those eggs and talk about the nerdy reason of how this solid yolk came to be. Essentially, that's basically it. Sometimes this is obviously taken too far, like when, this is just an example, like when the soup is ladled in an unfinished condition and then is only complete when the cook comes out and cries a single tear into the bowl, and then you can eat it. I just made that one up.
I was going to say,
yeah, because you're giving me this face.
Cool.
It's like, that would be.
About that.
I don't want to drink someone's tears. But you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, I know exactly.
They take it too far, and yeah. You're not a fan. This term, molecular gastronomy, obviously a nerd term here, was coined in 1992 by late physicist Nicholas Curti. Among a couple other guys with tricky names, he once said, "I think it is a sad reflection on our civilization that while we can and do measure the temperature in the atmosphere of Venus, we do not know what goes on inside our soufflés." He had a French accent.
Nice. He must have.
Pulled that one off. Some chefs associated, and we should try that one. "I think it is a sad reflection of our civilization," and I can't do it.
You can't do it.
I really can't do it, not without, I can say soufflé. Can you say soufflé with a French
soufflé.
Accent?
Soufflé.
Soufflé, that's pretty soufflé. Good. Yeah, and then you do the laugh.
Oh,
see, it's the laugh that does
happens?
It's not it's
what
not the
happens
accent.
In my souffle.
It has
I
fallen.
Do not know.
Your souffle has fallen. Your souffle has fallen. Some chefs associated with the term, they choose to reject it, possibly because it sounds really snooty. For terms like experimental cuisine, right, otherwise known as what the wife is making tonight. Some stuff that goes on in the lab includes the study of how different cooking temperatures affect eggs and their viscosity, surface tension, and different ways of introducing air into them. Like what happens to an egg when you do this. Right? That's scientific. The specification of juices and other liquids, spherification of juices. That's.
I love that, actually. That's really cool how they make raviolis without the pasta dough, or they make faux caviar with chocolate, and it still has the same pop.
It's a
caviar.
Ball.
It's an edible ball that has the pop, just like caviar, uh-huh. So it's liquid inside.
Cool.
And it's neat.
That's called spherification. Yeah, and they do that with all kinds of liquids. So you're making juice balls. You're making balls.
Yes.
Scientific balls.
Mm-hmm.
This is really the kind of silly thing that happens when what has to happen in order to figure out how companies can preserve and package foods while removing all their nutrition and keeping their color and just expanding it into a new profit center, I think. Now, it becomes a kind of sideshow where people can come sit and pay to watch this happening. I'm all for decorating my plate with pine-scented foam, but the fact that all this crazy legalese to describe what it is, that's how you know it's mostly bull, right?
Yes. It's froofy. It's fluffed up like some things are. But yeah, legalese, I don't know why they need to go crazy.
To make
that.
It sound expensive because they charge a lot for it. It's really all it is it's the science behind the cooking. Why don't they just call it that?
Because that sounds boring and not sexy.
Oh, okay. Of course, this is what happens when scientists get involved with anything. It needs a grant, and therefore the people issuing the grant must not have any idea what it really is. Perfect examples of the silliness, you'll have to agree with me, include making meringue in a vacuum chamber, right?
I don't know.
I can see you're holding back a giggle.
Yeah.
The cooking of sausages by connecting them to a car battery. That's that's a real thing. And a reverse baked Alaska, hot inside, cold outside, of course cooked in a microwave, which is exactly the same thing that happens by accident when you nuke a frozen burrito. Who hasn't sustained burrito burns this way? What other kind of weird molecular gastronomy stuff have you experienced? Because it's freaky.
Just all the foams. It's amazing how people go crazy about something you can't really feel or taste but smells good.
It's there.
It's there.
But it disappears the second you get it up to your face.
Or fancy aerosol noodles.
What?
A can.
What
yeah,
now?
A aerosol, you know, aerosol cheese, right? A can that you press a little button, cheese spits out.
Yeah.
Noodles.
Okay. Noodles. So it's like a noodle that comes out?
Uh-huh.
How many of those would you need to make a whole plate of spaghetti?
Well, you just need probably one can.
And you're making your
now this is fancy, so it's not on the store. At the
this is a noodle extruder aerosol.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's like crazy string, the kind of stuff that you get other people in the face with at parties.
Exactly, but it's pasta.
It's pasta. Is it any good?
It actually tastes just like a pasta noodle, so it's surprisingly not that different.
Can't you just get some pasta noodles?
That wouldn't be as cool.
Well, because, you know, it's a lot of noodles that make up a spaghetti plate. And, you know, you could be there with like a can.
And it would just be one noodle.
One big long noodle. You're still going to cut it up. How are you going to eat that thing? If you're twirling it with your fork, you'd have like a football-sized thing of noodles around your... You can't eat that.
But it's cool.
Well, coming up next after this quick commercial break, we'll be giving women their due for International Women's Day. all the good stuff they deserve for putting up with their men. The show's not that long, unfortunately, but we're going to try. Keep it tuned, men. There will be a test later. This is Food Fight Radio on KCBQ.
When our kids started school, I could see they needed an extra challenge. We tried to supplement at home, but we were exhausted and they were bored.
Then we discovered Renaissance Village Academy, located at 9988 Hybert Street in Scripps Ranch. RVA is a school for gifted, profoundly gifted, and or highly motivated students in kindergarten through 8th grade. The kids are so excited to go to school now, and they're definitely challenged.
Each week includes karate, drama, music, arts, education, gardening, and other valuable life skills. So we're confident that they're being well prepared for success.
RVA is unlike any school you've ever seen. I'm so glad we found Renaissance Village Academy.
It's the school I wish I had gone to.
I know, right? Go to rva.us.com to find out more about how your child can rediscover the joy of learning. Renaissance Village Academy. Personalized
and don't forget motivating.
Education for the gifted.
Go to rva.us.com.
For over 7 years, Modern Dentistry, the office of Dr. Amir Majavar and his friendly professional team members, have been providing quality and affordable care to San Diegans all over the county. Specializing in state-of-the-art cosmetic and family dentistry, including children ages 3 and up, porcelain crowns, veneers and lumineers, Invisalign, teeth whitening, and metal-free restorations. Rest assured the care you'll receive will be with the utmost precision and quality, and provided in a caring, nurturing, and virtually pain-free environment. Having completed a residency in cosmetic dentistry and over 200 successful Invisalign cases, Dr. Majavar is highly trained to create a beautiful smile just for you. Their office is designed with comfortable chairs, ceiling-mounted TVs, and noise-canceling headphones. Call Modern Dentistry and see what a difference a healthy, beautiful smile can make in your life. Go to sdmoderndentistry.com or call 858-259-4765. 858-259-4765.
In this corner, authentic New York style pizza from Knockout Pizza Miramesa. Pizza, wings, pasta, subs, and salads. And in that corner, the other guys. And the winner by a knockout. KnockoutPizzaMiramesa.com.
Charles Cole Jewelers delivers dreams, bringing the deepest wish glowingly to life. This is jewelry as unique and special as the dreams that create and desire. Charles Cole has an impressive history and extensive collection, including Hearts on Fire and gorgeous colored diamonds and gemstones. Charles Cole Jewelry will indulge even the most refined tastes. They invite you to visit their design showroom and production facility in Fashion Valley Mall and see for yourself how personal service and highest value are reasons why Charles Cole is San Diego's trusted advisor for all things jewelry. Ask them about their incredible risk-free custom work. Call Charles Cole Jewelers at 619-298-5655. That's 619-298-5655. Or online at charlescole.com. That's charlescole.com. Visit Charles Cole Jewelers in the Fashion Valley Mall for amazing jewelry that resonates, excites, and inspires. charlescole.com.
Welcome back to Food Fight Radio on KCBQ. I'm your host, Claire Katz, and that was a Guns N' Roses song. Mm-hmm. For anyone who is like, oh, I know that song. It doesn't really sound like one of their famous ones, but I know that one. And the reason you know it's Guns N' Roses is because Marcus is here in the studio doing that weird Axl Rose dance.
Yeah.
Where you kind of shimmy back and forth, which looks really weird because, you know, he's always shirtless and he always has, not Marcus, I'm talking about Axl Rose.
I always wish it.
Yeah, he's clothed in the studio, but Axl Rose always has the shirtless thing and the leather pants.
And the jacket, right? Doesn't he have some sort of thing?
Not typically,
because
it gets really hot on stage, I'm sure. Not that he's touring anymore, but then he does this weird shimmy thing back and forth, and that was his thing, and the girls really liked it. I always thought it kind of made him look like a bit of a snake, like physically, like he had no bones. It was just weird. Anyway, this is Food Fight Radio, so back to the food. Have you ever tried popcorn puree?
No.
It's a bit of a molecular gastronomy thing.
Yeah.
Or as I like to call it, food nerds.
Food nerds.
Yeah, molecular gastronomists are food nerds.
Yes.
In that it sounds ridiculous. It's actually simple. You spoon it onto a plate under like a crab cake or some seared scallops or other tasty stuff. It makes a really great plating agent because it tastes good with most things. Popcorn puree, and you can find this recipe really anywhere. Put in your own little adaptation of it. But here's my version, and we're going to put it on the website. You take 2 3/4 cups of 2% milk, a half a cup of heavy cream, 1/3 cup popcorn kernels, 3 tablespoon-sized piece of Parmesan cheese rind, 4 tablespoons butter, 1 1/2 teaspoons salt. So you make popcorn out of the kernels, throw away any of the ones that aren't pretty. Bring the milk and cream and Parmesan rind to a simmer or medium heat. Remove it from the heat. Stir in the popcorn, cover it, and let it sit for 20 minutes. Then you remove the Parmesan rind, puree everything using a blender, strain it back into a saucepan, and return the heat to medium. When it's hot, add the butter, a tablespoon at a time, whisking constantly until it's thick. It's very tasty. It's very unique. It's weird. When people taste it, they have no clue what it is. And that's probably the most fun part of it. Mm-hmm. So we'll stick that recipe up on the website. I know I told you I would not be putting recipes on the website, but that's just one. Certainly I can get away with one every once in a while because you know what? It's an inspiring recipe. It's going to make you try something that you probably otherwise never would have done ever your whole life. And you can put a lot of stuff on top of it. You can put a fish fillet, anything that's been broiled. Tasty. It even kind of goes okay with red meat.
Oh, I bet.
And especially like grits. Yeah, like if you're putting like a medallion of like a lamb, mm-hmm. you know, like a nice lamb loin on there. It's got nice nice pink in the middle. Anything crusty on the outside, put that on there.
Yeah.
Red meat and this popcorn puree go great together. I have yet to find something that does not taste good with popcorn puree. Obviously, if you do it every day, it's going to get really old really quick. But try it every once in a while on a special occasion. It's got a very pretty color and a very pretty consistency, and it smells really good. And it, no matter who you are serving it to, it will impress the heck out of them. Anyway, that's my recipe. I've made my quota, right? I still get to have a food show.
Yeah.
See? Good. That'll be on the website. It's all for you. That's how I roll. Friday was International Women's Day, and we are going to tell all you women out there what you have been yearning to hear. Barry White, take it away.
Hello, ladies. You're awesome. You work your tail off all day for your family, making them happy at the expense of your own and your sanity. Thank you. You still got it after all these years. Mm-hmm. I'd give you flowers every day if you didn't hate it that they died. I'd even chew my leg off for you. Well, I mean, not for a pair of shoes or something, but for something serious. I'd totally chew my leg off for you.
See, that's Barry White in the studio, folks, telling all you women how great you are. And that's, of course, in honor of International Women's Day. Talking about shoes.
Uh-huh.
Is because I get that, you know, you would chew your leg off for your wife, and she's terrific.
She is.
Could see that.
She's great.
But you are not going to do that unless it's like a life or death thing.
Yeah, warrants a leg needing to be chewed off.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. Like the hiker who got pinned under a rock.
Yeah, of course.
Life or death. He didn't chew off his own leg.
No, he couldn't get to it.
How did he remove his leg?
He cut it with something.
A rock.
Oh, a rock he found,
or
yeah.
a pocket knife or something.
Yeah.
And boy, I'll bet that hurt. Oh. I don't think I would have been able to do that.
No.
That weird. But talking about shoes.
that go on the feet that you just took off.
There is that, exactly. Yeah, if you only have one leg left, there's no point in keeping all those shoes. Women, bear that in mind. Keep your feet, because all those shoes you spent all that money on. There is a billboard on the freeway just off of the 805.
Okay.
And it's a giant red shoe, and it says, My Sister's Closet.
Oh.
You've seen it.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. It's the only one I've seen. It disturbs me, and this morning, passing it, I figured out why. It's got this big red patent leather platform slingback heel with like a peep toe. Men out there have no clue what I just said.
Yeah, I'm lost.
It is a shiny red shoe. How's that? Does that work for you? Okay. The women out there, you know what I'm talking about. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Oh, and you're imagining the shoe in your head based on Maya's description. You can tell exactly what it looked like. It is a very transvestite-looking shoe. This is not a feminine-looking shoe. I mean, it's not. It looks like about a $10, $15, you know, designer shoe warehouse generic fake, okay, of something that no one should have ever made. It's got an extremely high platform, so a very high kind of heel. It's a cross-dresser's shoe. This is not an attractive thing that makes me want to shop there, which kind of, it's kind of disconcerting because is it a women's clothing store?
Yeah, actually, Laura has shopped there in my sister's closet, and she loves it. It has a lot of really nice clothes, and she donates clothes. It's like a consignment shop. It's really neat.
They should change that picture.
They
because
should. I mean,
the
if that's
picture
what you think, yeah.
makes me think that it is a place where if there are men who are transvestites or cross-dressers out there, which are like the same thing, you can go to this place and find shoes that are appropriate for you. And also, I came up with another idea. If anyone is listening who's feeling very entrepreneurial out there would be a huge opportunity opening up a store just for used shoes. Forget about the clothes, the purses, scarves, hats, anything, because you know what? Clothes are porous. People, they can have scabies on them. You don't know what that is? Google it. It's disgusting. Because I've shown pictures of this stuff to Marcus, yeah. and he's still mad at me.
Stuff nightmare.
Bed bug eggs, flea casings, okay? Just disgusting things that are associated with the kind of clothes that other people just give away, leave in their garage for 4 years, and then finally give away, right?
Exactly.
But just shoes.
Just shoes.
And you could call it, someone else's shoes. Mm-hmm. You know, because you're like walking a mile in someone else's shoes. You call it someone else's shoes. Anyways, just shoes.
Just shoes.
Just shoes. People have a thing about shoes.
No, you're right.
And when I say people, I mean women. Women have a thing for shoes. We like shoes.
I like shoes, but like I'm size 14. So for growing up most of my life, I wasn't able to pick the style I wanted. I just had to pick the shoe that fit.
Hmm.
And so if there was a shoe shop where I could go and look at other shoes, or I always donate my used shoes before they go bad because I know they're hard to find.
Anyway, this is Food Fight Radio, and of course we're talking about food here. So anyway, thanks for the Barry White. Very, very manly. That's a very sweet Women's Day shout out to Marcus's lovely wife, Laura. Now I'm going to share a few words to help all you women out there get the most out of life with these great health and lifestyle tips. If you don't like my advice, the number is 888-344-1170. You can call me up and tell me how I'm wrong. Eat yogurt every day. It's great for your digestive system, will fill you up better, and gives you enough calcium to allow your body to lose weight if you're dieting. Most women don't know that. If your body is not supplemented properly with calcium, your body will think that you are starving, and it will not let you lose weight. Almost nobody knows that. People almost never talk about it, but now you know. Lighten up on the eye makeup. All right? I see this every day. It's a raccoon eye thing. It makes you look older.
Why are you looking straight at me?
What do you mean? Men hate lipstick. Swip to a lip gloss that doesn't taste disgusting.
Agreed.
See?
No,
see?
Yeah,
I'm already right. Marcus the man, he agrees with me.
Don't like lipstick. It tastes
like
candle wax.
Plus, it smears everywhere, so you get that.
It doesn't feel nice when, yeah, it just, no.
Just, you know, they sell a lot of lipstick. There's a lot of ad for lipsticks. Don't buy them.
Mm-mm.
Just get some kind of light gloss. It makes you look younger anyway. Keep your stomach sucked in. It's like doing sit-ups all day long, so you barely have to exercise ever. Eat TV Eat and watch TV standing up. People who do this burn about 500 to 700 more calories per day. Seriously, again, you'll never have to exercise. Do your breast exams. There's no other words for me to throw that in there to make it more kosher. Marcus, stop that. The formal ones, and of course, the ones that you do yourself at home, you'll feel more peace of mind knowing you're okay. Let your hubby help. It's a less thorough exam, but that could also be a lot of fun. Eat breakfast, at least 300 calories. Do this, and your metabolism will run faster all day long. If you have time for nothing else, take a hot bath in total silence. It feels like a day off. Add champagne and you're on vacation. 20 minutes, that's all it takes. Take your vitamins. Don't know what you should be taking? See Dave the Vitamin Guy at Great Earth Vitamins. He will set you up. Any other recommendations for squeezing more happiness out of your day?
No, it's all great. Just whenever you're negative, just try and think of the positive. That's always something my dad taught me. Just trying to put a positive spin on everything, and you just seem happier.
That's not bad.
No, just
one thing that women do that they gotta kind of remind themselves not to do mm-hmm. is take care of everyone else before they take care of themselves.
Oh, yeah. The nurse syndrome.
Yeah. They, because you know why? Deep down, all women want to sacrifice for their kids mm-hmm. and sacrifice for their family because it makes them feel like better women. We're genetically made this way. We're naturally designed in our genes and in our cells and in our atoms to be martyrs. We make great martyrs. It's also one of the things that makes the whole guilt thing really work. And women really know how to rub on the guilt, don't they? They make a face.
I take my Fifth Amendment right as an American citizen.
You're doing what now?
Taking my Fifth. Fifth Amendment right?
It's, well, you don't have to be talking about your family. You could be talking about me. I know how to rub on the guilt.
Yes, make totally.
You, yeah, like if you don't do something that we need you to do, you're like, you know, you feel all kind of guilty. That's me making you feel guilty, I think. And I think it's subconscious. Women do this without even really thinking about it a lot of the time. You know why? Because you kind of get within yourself and you get kind of sad. People can see that you're sad. You get this pouty thing on your face. Everyone around you feels like garbage.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you don't even realize you're affecting everyone around you so profoundly. But women really know how to do the guilt. When men feel bad about something, they don't get a sad face.
No, we get mad.
They get pissed.
Yeah.
Is what they do. And then, of course, that makes everyone else angry.
Or leave us alone, yeah.
Which doesn't help anyone.
I don't know.
Women do that because it gets them the help they need.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We don't want to chase people out of the room. They make the face, make you feel bad, make you feel like helping, so you'll get off your behind and help. That it's genetic. We don't even realize we're doing this. And that's how you know women are always taking the heat for stuff. Genetically. And we shouldn't. We should, okay, how could you beat your genes? Just try.
Just try.
Just give it your best shot. Don't be such a victim. Okay? Stand up, put your fist in the air, and say, I'm really physically strong. All that yoga and Pilates and stuff makes me really physically tough. I can take care of myself. I can take care of my own stuff. And then you just do it. You want a piece of jewelry? Go buy the darn thing. You know what? Don't just play sad for like 6 months until Valentine's Day or your birthday and then hope someone is going to be psychically linking to you to figure out exactly what you want. Go get it. Go do the stuff that you want to do and eat the stuff you want to eat. Cook the foods you want to eat. You know, don't be like eating a flavorless salad with no dressing that has salmon on it because you think that there's a dimple on your behind that someone's going to, no one sees it. No one cares.
No one cares.
Your men like you just the way you are. Okay? Men surveyed all over. You see articles about this all the time if you're actually paying attention and not reading Vogue because let's face it, only women are the only ones that think they need to look like toothpicks.
Yeah, that's silly.
Yeah, men don't agree. They like women with shape, with curve, with meat on them. Men like meat.
Yes.
That extends to all areas of their lives.
All areas of their
ladies,
life.
Men love meat. And there's meat on a woman. There's meat on his plate. It is very, very simple. Men are very, very simple. That's how you're going to get more out of life, is by realizing a few simple things. You look great, I'm sure, just the way you are.
And confidence is always attractive.
Confidence is more attractive than being attractive.
I fully agree. Yeah, if you're more confident in your own skin and you carry that around you, people are attracted to you just to be around you, to be a friend, or, you know, physically, they're just more into you.
Perfect example, Marilyn Monroe. Okay, if you take away the peroxide blonde hair, the makeup, the fake beauty mark that someone stuck on there with an eyebrow pencil, mm-hmm. and the super tight waist cinching outfits,
mm-hmm.
she was a very mousy, relatively plain, semi-attractive brunette who would never have garnered a second glance.
Mm-hmm.
It was the makeover that did everything. And of course, she felt confident about herself.
Another one is Cleopatra. When you see coins that are minted in her image that like her, she's not that attractive.
Right.
We hear all these things of how people were attracted to her. That was her being confident, her being herself. That wasn't her physical beauty. She didn't have a lot of physical beauty.
Now, the Mona Lisa, she actually needed help.
The Mona Lisa, I believe, was a picture of the artist himself as a woman. And a lot of people do.
That explains a lot.
Yeah.
And anyone who says the Mona Lisa is beautiful, she's hiding a sly little smile, she knows something's up, she's fooling around with someone's hubby. I don't buy any of that. I don't buy any of that. I think everyone knows when they look at the Mona Lisa, that woman is a dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, and, okay,
with
being
a huge forehead.
Right. Big forehead. That, you know, more to paint.
Mm-hmm.
Really. She was probably a good canvas. Big canvases are better canvases. Anyway, of course, this is Food Fight. Where
this is Food Fight.
We don't talk about anything but food on this show.
I wonder if they ate while they were painting the Mona Lisa.
Yeah, I don't know. Spaghetti out of a can. Next up, after the break, we're going to be talking about bees. Not the nice ones, the stingy ones. The ones that, you know, that make the freaky honey. And why they only seem to be stinging people with the allergies.
They're smart.
Weird, right? Yeah, they're smart. They're wiping us out one by one. Up next on Food Fight Radio, stay tuned.
Have you looked at your grocery bill lately? You've probably noticed that good food is expensive. And between planning, shopping, cooking, and cleaning up, it's also time-consuming. And probably one of the least rewarding daily chores you have. Hey, here's an idea. Let Dine-In Tonight simplify your life. One meal at a time. They hand-deliver hot, delicious, gourmet meals right to your door at dinner time. A few of their 100 gourmet recipes include maple-glazed baby back ribs. Oh, hello. How about lemon chicken piccata, roast beef with Dijon sauce, roasted red snapper, Havarti chicken with portobello mushrooms? Choose 3 or 5 nights per week for just $10 per entree with no delivery fee. Get a free week of meals delivered by using promotion code KCBQ. Sign up online at dineintonight.com. That's dineinnight.com or call 888-64-MEALS. That's 888-64-MEALS.
In this corner, authentic New York style pizza from Knockout Pizza Miramesa. And in that corner, the other guys. And the winner by a knockout. KnockoutPizzaMiramesa.com.
Trying to run or start a business, but the costs and overhead are keeping you from your dream? Lower your costs and reduce your footprint with a virtual office with FlexOffice. You'll have a real business address for your mail, business cards, and website. All of the amenities are provided for you. You and your clients can meet in a professional office building. You'll have access to a fully equipped conference room and classroom with internet and a 42-inch TV monitor for presentations or training. Conveniently located in Sorrento Mesa with access to the 805 and 15. Get your dreams back on track with a professional virtual office today for only $79 per month. It's the most flexible and cost-effective way to get what you need to grow your business, and you only pay for what you use. Call 858-200-7591 or visit us online at flexofficesuites.net. flexofficesuites.net.
Welcome back to Food Fight Radio, and I'm your host, Claire Katz. When I hear about someone being stung, it's only ever the guy with the bee allergy. I laugh when vegans get stung because they're the ones vying to free all the bee workers, some of them, the honey makers, the crop pollinators. Can you imagine people doing that job?
Oh, that would take forever. It would.
Like scattering pollen all over the place and trying to squeeze honey out of their abdomens? Here's the silly thing. People are always told that they should eat raw honey to get the benefit. The antibacterial properties, the pollen that helps with allergies, all the good stuff, right? Then you travel across town, go to a farmer's market to get this big jar of expensive raw honey from local fields of wildflowers because they tell you that honey made from local flowers is going to be better for whatever allergies you are personally suffering from because that's where you live. It's all very, very romantic. Then you put it into your coffee and tea.
And then you destroy it.
You just wasted your money. Raw honey is supposed to be eaten cold. This is the only area that the raw diet has a point. But only one point. The rest of the raw diet is ridiculous. The rest of the raw diet, it's like if you heat anything up to over 110 degrees, I believe.
Yeah, I believe that's the magic number.
Then you can't eat that.
Well, you break down all the nutrients, so all of a sudden it's less nutritious.
Which nutritious for you? It's less nutritious. Yeah, that's going to be my bumper sticker. Is real men eat raw? I think I saw one.
Nice.
It's not manly. Eating raw diet food is not.
Unless you're talking about meat.
Right. Like what? Sushi.
Mm,
rare steak.
cook, catch an
it's
animal.
It's been cooked it right to there. More than 110 degrees on the outside of the steak, the tasty seared part, which I have to have always. Of course, I'm not a vegan. Everyone knows it. Anything over 110 degrees, it's supposed to lose all that good stuff. I don't agree when it comes to regular food. You know, it makes vegetables tolerable.
Yeah, it breaks down their fibers so you can absorb more of what's in there when you heat it up.
But honey, raw honey, it anything over 110 degrees, and it loses all of that great stuff that you just drove across town and spent $30 on. There is no point in putting it in your coffee and tea. People are like, oh, I got this great jar of raw honey. I'm going to put it in my coffee. That's dumb. Yeah. Buying an expensive thing and then not realizing how to get the most out of it, that's an American thing, really. It becomes as completely inert as the clear, runny stuff in the Bear bottle at the store.
I love that Bear bottle.
It's a cute bottle.
It's a cute bottle.
Bears kill bees. Did you know that?
Do they?
If I were a bee, that would make me angry that my honey is being put into the shape of an animal that frequently murders entire hives of bees just to get to the honeycomb.
Oh, that's right. He just goes right at the honeycomb and eats it and doesn't care what happens.
Doesn't care about the stings. He doesn't care getting his nose constantly stung. I know you're a fan of raw honey. What are some good ways to get it into your body without putting it in coffee and tea and completely ruining it?
Well, like I was talking about earlier today, when we were making the breads and having like warm bread or toast and then smearing it right on there is my favorite. That's really good.
Honey on bread?
Honey on bread.
Mixing it into your smeared items.
Yes.
Like the peanut butter,
mm-hmm.
the cream cheese.
Exactly.
Stuff like that. Don't put it with the lox.
No.
That would be bad.
That would... Maybe.
Right? Because smoked salmon.
Yeah, but there's honey... Yeah.
Okay. Bacon.
Bacon, yeah. This
honey and bacon on top of your cream cheese smeared bagel.
No.
No?
All of a sudden you lost it.
Well, that's because you have a thing. You got a problem with bacon these days.
You got a problem with bacon.
It's just you think bacon has been overdone, and I disagree. I think that if something becomes known that it's cool, like, say, a euphemism, like the term overshare.
Overshare. How about the term epic?
Epic. I still say that.
I am over epic.
That's from the 80s.
I hate it when people fall down on their skateboard. They're like, oh, epic fail. I'm like, you fell down. There was nothing
epic. That's an epic fail, though.
It's still not an epic fail. It's just a fail.
Well, epic means, legendary, right?
Legend, yeah.
Okay, if you have failed, there's nothing legendary about that. That is actually bad. They're trying to make themselves feel better about the fact that they just completely screwed something up in a very embarrassing kind of way, and they're trying to pick themselves up so they have enough confidence to try again.
I don't call them out on it, but I just kind of grumble to myself.
That's because making fun of skateboarders is like, it's like talking to a wall. I mean, this is like this is what they've decided to do with their spare time instead of further their scholastic pursuits. Mm-hmm. So clearly this is not someone that you're going to be able to get through to.
Exactly.
You know,
and plus, I'm like, what, 35 now, or will be, so they're not going to listen to me anyways.
No, you're an old man. You're an old fogey.
I'm old.
I think at this point, and you're younger than me. You know, bees are attracted to redheads because their heads look like giant neon yellow flowers.
Yeah, I remember whenever I wear like a floral, like a Hawaiian shirt, bees come at me. I'm like,
yeah, they think you're a giant yellow flower.
Oh, they're like jackpot.
Yeah,
and then they get to me. They're like, oh,
you're like a huge bouquet. You're a big old bouquet. Bees have this ultraviolet vision that they can only see certain colors and UV, which makes red roses pretty unattractive to them and colorless, but it looks like gray. Red looks like gray to them. Yellow and orange, however, are irresistible.
Oh.
This is good news for allergic brunettes. Don't be a redhead wearing yellow. That would be bad. Also, they seem to be attracted to people that are more sensitive to their stings. This is my theory. Many vegans avoid honey, and this is what I'm thinking. The bees smell this on them. They smell the lack of honey. You know, they can probably smell someone that eats a lot of honey, right? They can probably smell it on them because, you know, generally people kind of smell like what they eat, right? So I think that these people, even though they don't smell like meat, they're eating nothing but vegetables, they're not eating honey. And I think the bees recognize that these guys are not on their team because they smell wrong. And then they sting them.
Bears would smell like honey then, wouldn't they?
Yeah, but they only attack the bears when they're they're whacking the hive with their giant paw.
Got it.
So.
I see that. I see that. I see that going. I see what you're saying. So, the bears, they don't attack the bears unless the bear's attacking them.
Right.
Because if you smell like honey, you're obviously a bee.
But if you are, say, a redhead and you're wearing a bright yellow dress.
Well, then you're just a big flower.
You're a big, giant flower. Now, let's say that you are a redhead wearing a bright yellow dress who is also a vegan and who does not eat honey.
So then you would smell like an enemy.
Right. A big, attractive, flower-looking enemy. The bee will be irresistibly attracted to you, and it'll want to come in to investigate and see what's up.
Yeah.
And probably get tangled in your hair and then sting you.
And if you're allergic and you see the bee, you're going to freak out, which scares the bee even more, so they come at you even more.
Because they think that you're a natural enemy. Because enemy would be afraid of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
yeah, so they start freaking out, and the bee's like, why are you freaking out? Why are you freaking out? What are you hiding?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm gonna get you.
Like when you run, that's why the police chase you.
Yeah, or any predator animal.
If you're not guilty, why are you running?
Exactly.
Yeah, so you stand your ground and, I guess, try to pretend that you're not afraid of these bees.
I'm not delicious. I'm not delicious.
Convince yourself that you are not, in fact, allergic to bees. In fact, if you don't know that you're allergic, that's your protection right there.
Yeah.
Because you have no clue. It's like going in the ocean and being afraid of sharks. You are more likely to get bitten.
Again, because when you flail and when you freak out a little bit, they'll come at you.
When you're uncomfortable, when you're afraid of something, you emit that, and they're attracted to that. I think bees are the same way. Bees are just like sharks. They're attracted to people who are scared of them.
Well, when you're overly scared, it's a sign that you're hurt and you need more protection. Like, if you have a hurt leg and you're out in the wild, you're going to be more uncomfortable, more scared than if you're perfectly healthy.
Which means you're now perfect prey.
Exactly.
To sharks and bees.
To anything.
Making bees teeny tiny great white sharks. Because they behave in a very similar manner, I think. If only we could figure out how to eat great white sharks. I wonder what they would taste like.
Yeah.
Granted, they'd probably be pretty hard to catch.
Yeah.
And they don't do very well in captivity.
That would be the deadliest catch.
That would be. That would come on. Crab? Really? Cute little tasty crab. Oh, he's got some spikes. Ha! Nothing. This thing's got 480 teeth.
And if they fall out, he'll have 480 more tomorrow.
Yeah, and make a lot of necklaces with that. That's what we do.
That's what we
kill
do.
It, we cook it, we eat it, and we wear its bones as decoration. Yeah, we're humans. Coming up in the next hour on Food Fight Radio, we've got an interview with Bob Marley's nephew. He's Charles Maddox, and he's a chef and cookbook author, and we've got him. His cookbooks are full of tasty recipes for people with diabetes.
Oh, nice.
He's knowledgeable, and honestly, he's a real peach. Coming up on the next hour, Food Fight Radio on KCBQ.
Food Fight Radio on KCBQ is sponsored by Fran Vest International, Inc.